Good morning, Bethany.
Good morning.
My name is Andrew Cooney, and I'd like to welcome you here this morning, whether you're sitting in the sanctuary or on our live stream. We are so glad that you are with us this morning. As we get started in worship, a couple of announcements. First of all, during the pandemic time, we've asked everyone that during the singing, everyone put on a mask. If you didn't bring one, there are some out in the hallway. Other than that, we have designated mask sections. If you want to sit in one of those sections to have your masks on the whole time, that's fantastic. If not, you're welcome to sit in one of the other sections. But during music, we ask everyone to put their mask on as we stand and sing together. We had a busy week this week at Bethany. It was so fun this week. We had Vacation Bible School out in the parking lot, and I'll talk about that more later. What a great week we had with VBS and Touch of Kids. We had a missions project this week where we had kids go to a local home and help out with a porch and a garden and a bunch of other stuff. And we had a group of kids this morning go off with some adults to Brooklyn, New York on a missions trip to help with a Vacation Bible School and an outreach up in Brooklyn, New York. So it has been a busy week. I'll talk about it more later for Bethany. But what a beautiful, beautiful time. For those of you who are looking for your envelopes, I did find some of them. They are in the back volunteer room. I will try before the end of the worship service to get those out into the hallway so that you can grab those. Thank you for those of you who use them. We also want to thank you for the volunteers. We continue to need volunteers to help us with things like sound and media. So if you're willing and able to help us with some of that stuff, just let us know. We would be so appreciative of that. And this morning we have a full stage up here. I know, right? Isn't it awesome having the full praise band here? So we are so grateful. And as we move toward our time of prayer, I would ask especially, not only have we had quite a few people lose loved ones over the pandemic, and I'd ask that you pray for them and their families. Some of those circumstances were especially hard. There were some folks who lost loved ones, and because they were in nursing homes or other places, they weren't even able to be with them. And that's a hard thing. So if you would pray for the folks that lost loved ones during the pandemic, but also, I'd like to ask a special prayer this morning for one of my brothers in Christ, Matthew, who is in the back. He hurt his Achilles tendon and is in recovery, and he still thinks he's young. But he will learn.
It don't work this
He heard it playing basketball. So please keep him in your prayers as well. Let's begin with a word of prayer as we start. God, we just want to thank you for this beautiful day. Yesterday, as we took a walk in the evening, my wife and I commented on how amazing it was to have these temperatures in July. And just that the coolness of the evening is, I'm reminded of Genesis, where God walked with Adam and Eve through the coolness of the garden, and that you love those moments with us. So help us to have those kind of moments with you now, where we sense your presence, where we walk with you, where we are inspired and challenged and moved by your spirit and your mission and your purpose. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So we have a new song for you today. Well, it's kind of new. We did about 2 years ago. But it is going to get us going this morning. And I know we're wearing masks. We have to sing with our masks on, but we can do that, right? We can do that, because there's this part where you guys are going to need to sing back to us.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will pray. Darkness grieves. Through you, my heart screams, I am
thank you for how often you show your love to us. You are God alone. Help us to share your great love with all who need to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Such a
beautiful prayer. You may be seated.
Talked about the love of God. God, we're so grateful for that love. Help us to show each other that love as well. Amen.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted because you were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Spirit lives within me, 'cause you died and rose again.
Can y'all sing that with me? One more time.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted because you were condemned. Oh,
Father, we are so grateful that you have committed to being with us. Help our hearts to honor you, to bless you, and to love you because of who you are and because of all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, praise band. This is the last in our sermon series, and we've been looking at what it means to make our way back into life. As we entered the pandemic, it was something that we didn't expect. None of us had a frame of reference for it. We didn't know how we would live or how our lives would change. And we found ourselves worrying about things like toilet paper that we'd never really worried about. I remember when I got back from BJ's one day and I had a bundle of toilet paper and I said to my wife, "You're not going to believe what I got." I can't ever remember saying those words regarding toilet paper in my entire life until that day. Now, last week Pastor Brendan talked about moving from what it means to be a spectator to a participant. And today I want to talk about how we up our quotient in terms of just what it means to love others and give and serve in life. Let me just share with you, I've said part of this before. When February hit, February is not a good time of year for most of us anyway, right? It's if you're a sports fan, it's a dead time in sports. You're in the middle of winter, you're hunkered down, your body is telling you eat, 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 put on the winter fat, and it's dark. The sun has been gone, and you're just like, please come spring, please come spring. And not only did I look down at the scale and find that I gained a lot of weight, but I found that I was just tremendously out of shape. I was really out of shape. And so I decided that I was going to change all of that. And I began, I downloaded an app to my phone that counts my steps. And I decided that I was going to set an initial goal of 2 miles a day, which is more than I'd walked in a long time. So my phone was set for 6,000 steps, which is about 2 miles from my stride because I'm so tall. And so I began walking that. And I was finding that it wasn't too far in, just walking. I wasn't on a track where it's flat. It was just walking through the neighborhood where I would start huffing and puffing just a little bit, getting up the hill, you know what I mean? And that said to me, you are out of shape. So I hit it every day, 7 days a week. My wife and I would go walking. And we found some interesting things happening. First of all, not only did it help me lose weight, but I got in better and better shape. And I wasn't huffing and puffing the same way. And as spring came in, I had to mow the lawn and push that lawnmower again. It wasn't as heavy as the previous year. You know, going up the hills and stuff. And so here's the challenge, though. The challenge, though, was that when I had done that, for about 3 weeks, the app on my phone had this wonderful little pop-up, and it said, "Would you like to go to 7,000 steps a day?" And when I initially looked at it, I'm like, "No, and don't ask again." And then about 4 days later, it said to me, "You're doing great." I mean, there were fireworks when it hit my goal and all this stuff, right? And then it would say, "Hey, how about 7,000 steps?" And I'm like, I'm already beating 7,000 steps anyway. Let me just do it. I hit 7,000 steps. And every so often it would come back to me and say, "Would you like to do more? Would you like to do more? Would you like to do more?" And I just kept upping it until I got to 10,000. And I am like, stop asking me. If I want to do more than that, I'll do more than that. But this little device was built in to challenge me to do just a little bit more. Now, it wasn't doing it because it was getting anything out of it. The device is getting nothing out of it, right? It's pushing me because the creator of the device knows that there is in my life, this has nothing to do with you, I'm just sharing my personal life, there is a personal gravitational pull to my couch. See, in my living room, I have a not a lazy boy, but a recliner, and I have two couches. And when I bought these couches, I bought them soon after I got here, I noticed immediately after we bought them and put them in the house that as soon as you sit in them, they just naturally have this marshy, sink down, deep kind of feeling about them. And it's wonderful while you're sitting there, but if you try and get up, you feel like you're in quicksand. you need another member of the family to get out that you need a Jeep in the backyard with a cable on it that you can hook it around your waist and have them hit that button and it just starts to slowly pull you up and off the couch. That's the kind of couch we have. And so I found that there are moments when my wife says to me, do you want to go for a walk? And I knew the question was coming. And the answer was, no. I am seated here and the gravitational inertia that it will take for me to get up out of this thing is only going to happen one of two ways. Food or bed are the only two things that are going to pull me out of this couch quickly. Quickly. And sometimes neither one of them will do it. Haven't you ever been like, I am so thirsty, but I just can't get out of this couch? And you're like, I want to go to bed, but it would just be easier if I just put my legs up on the couch and I just fell asleep here. Wait a minute, do you guys have one of those couches in your house too? I know, right? So last week, Pastor Brenda read this verse from Hebrews chapter 11. I love this verse. And here's what it says. We're going to put it up on the wall for you because I want to remind you of it. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. Now, it doesn't say what I want you to do is do love and good works. What it says is there are people around you who will sometimes need your help to get up off the couch. And I want you to think creatively about how you can help motivate them to do the thing that you've already found is good. And so what I've discovered is that when you have somebody helping you with this kind of thing, oh man, it's so much easier, isn't it? When everyone else is sitting on the couch and you decide to go take a walk, oh, that's a hard lift off the couch. But if everybody else gets up and says, do you want to come? Now it's a different thing. How do we encourage one another? How do we spur one another along to love and good works? Because what I found, and I'm sure that you have found this too in life, is that I have found that when I help other people, when I love, when I serve, when I care, I very rarely ever regret it. What I can regret is sitting too many hours on the couch. My back starts to hurt. My head starts to hurt. I feel like a mush. And so I love that verse that she read last week because it challenges me. And one of the things that I find that's so powerful is how motivating that can really be. This week, the youth group did a local missions trip. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Many of the children, I'm not going to claim all of them, many of the children in my house have the physical capability to sleep in until noon. I no longer have that ability, but they can. And the local mission trip, they had to be here at the church by 7:30 a.m. And I have not seen, in this case, my son who's on his way to Brooklyn right now, I have not seen him get out of bed the entire summer as quickly or easily as he did this week going to help somebody else. And as I talked to parents, here's what they said to me. I cannot believe my teenager was up before I was. I said, really? Now, that didn't happen in my house, but that is amazing. And there was something about that experience that spurred them on, not just to get up off the couch, but to get out of bed. Can I say this? Early in the summer. I don't know what kind of magic potion that is, but we have to find it and we have to share it. It's powerful. And this week, as I worked with the teens a bit, I wasn't able to be there every day. They were passionate. They were committed. There were adults that had never worked with teens who were just amazed. They came to me and they said, I am amazed at the teens in this church. I said, I know. This morning, as they left for Brooklyn, they were here again early. And I had a parent come up to me and say, I don't understand it. We're never early to anything. And my teenager was the first one in this parking lot. That is a powerful thing inside of us that would happen. Because God created us to be beings who give and help and serve others. He made us that way. And we find that when we get into that, there's something that we're drawn to, that we love about it, that we care about so much. And when we slip into that again and find that the inertia of the couch is not as wonderful as we thought it was, something really powerful happens in our life. And there's always got to be a balance, right? I mean, if you spend all your life working and serving and never have a chance to take a breath and relax and just be with the people you love and care about, you've lost another important element of your life, haven't you? And as we come out of the pandemic, some of us have learned that important element, the important element of being together, of taking time, of taking a breath, of sitting on the couch. But I have to say, because of the pull of my couch, I have to work my way back out of that and learn the balance of life. What it means to both serve and give, and what it means to rest. Now, there's some people who love when we talk about just serving and loving, but they're not huge fans of money and me talking about money. But I want to share with you this verse in Proverbs chapter 11. I love this verse. The author of Proverbs is so pointed and pithy. Here's what the author of Proverbs says. The godly can look forward to a reward, while the wicked can only expect judgment. In the New Living Translation, that's verse 23. Let's go to verse 24. That's what I was really looking forward to. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. That's pretty succinct, isn't it? Give freely and become more wealthy. This goes against everything that's inside of us, but it is exactly the kind of thing that Jesus was trying to teach us. And then verse 25 says this. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And here's what I find. I find that people who love to give, and you know what? There are certain things that we absolutely love to do. On rare occasions, I will make the dinner at our house. Now, I say rare in part because my wife is working from home, and also because she is clearly the better cook in our house. And there's been a family vote, and it was 5-0 that she's the better cook. But there are times when I make it. Sometimes it's Mother's Day, sometimes it's a birthday or anniversary, and sometimes it's just a Thursday. And I do not enjoy cooking. It's not one of the things I just like to do. But when I'm done and I have a meal to prepare for my wife and offer to her, there's something really powerful that does inside of me as a human being. And Jesus knew that. He understood that. The power of being able to give and to give freely. I love what that means. I love how God uses it in our lives. And coming out of the pandemic, what I've discovered is that serving and giving are two muscles that if you don't use them, begin to kind of atrophy. They just do. And so you kind of have to say, I'm going to begin to exercise that again. I'm going to begin to get stronger in that. And I find it's kind of like my pedometer pushing me just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And this week, we had Vacation Bible School. And this week, a whole group of family and kids got together, and one of their projects was to make tie-dye t-shirts. Now, they made these not for themselves, but to send to children around the world at Christmas. So they made these tie-dye t-shirts. They were in the back parking lot over here. Look, just look at that. These are our kids that made these, okay? Now, in the middle of tie-dying, you may remember that this happened at your house, but you may not have known that it happened here and when it happened. In the middle of tie-dying on Thursday, the heavens opened. And it began to pour down like Noah had built an ark. All the sound equipment was sitting outside. All these families were tie-dying. All these kids were outside. And a group of people scurried and got the sound equipment inside, and then people just got soaked. And later on, the teenagers were outside doing the same thing to help the project later on in the evening, and it opened up again on them and just poured over them. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to guess that the families and kids that were at the event that day may not as much remember the fact that they tie-dyed t-shirts as the fact that they got soaking wet doing it. Just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were out for a walk, and as we're walking, she goes, "Look, there's some rain in the distance." And we got about 1 mile into our walk when the heavens just opened on us. And we are laughing because it reminded us of one of our favorite memories is we were in college together, and we were walking back from class one day, and the heavens just opened up, and there wasn't an inch of us that was dry. And we still laugh to this day about that moment. There were many times we took a walk together on campus, but that one sticks out above all others. And here's what I'm going to say to you. There are moments when you feel like life becomes more challenging and there's more sacrifice and it's a little bit harder and you get soaked to the bone. But when you look back, those are the things that warm your heart. Those are the things that you remember. Those are the things that make you laugh and you tell others about. And I'm going to say to you, there are few people who tell stories about sitting on the couch. We don't. But there are lots of stories to be told when we serve and live and give to the people around us. So I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to be like, I can't be the app on your phone. But today I'm going to challenge you. Can you find a place where you just up your serving just a little bit, where you up your giving just a little bit, where you up your caring just a little bit? And watch what God does as he writes another story for you to tell to others. And in the end, you might be soaking wet. But I'm guessing it'll be joy that's really covering you more than water. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you are a generous God. Generous in so many ways. Generous to provide for us, generous to care for us, to give us time. You've committed to us night and day to be there for us. You've given us everything you have, including your Son. Teach us to be people who give freely and find that we are wealthy because of it, both with our time and our talents, but also with our money. And help us to fight against the gravitational pull of the couch. Because while it has a beautiful place in our lives, it doesn't have the same meaning and purpose as it does when we live and serve and give to others. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for how you teach us these powerful lessons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close in worship. For me.
to honor, who make the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, and shines like sun in all of his brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is amazing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. You've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my
you. That was so much fun. Wasn't that awesome?
Amen.
I know, right? We are so blessed, and I also want to take a moment to thank, we have some young people in the back that are helping us with our technology, and if you can believe it, I know, right? If you can believe it, they pick it up faster than the old people that help us with our technology. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? I heard you laugh, Matt. You're in that category, too. You know, some of you ask about envelopes. We have them in the back there. They're giving boxes occasionally. You guys ask about that. We are so grateful for your generosity. And I just want to challenge you as you go to listen to the Holy Spirit, to find ways to serve and to give more deeply and to allow Jesus to move you into those areas of your life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.